I've titled my message today, The Little Things of Christmas. The Little Things of Christmas. The Christmas story is full of little details. God used little people in little places doing little tasks to accomplish his great purpose of bringing his son to earth. Now, in the world's eyes, Christ's birth was nothing special. Just another little boy. This little boy is born every day. Being born in a little village among common people, little people, in the world's eyes, this was just another birth. But we know it was something more than that. It was not a little, insignificant event. This was the greatest miracle of all time. This was the day that God, who created the universe, created the world, who knows each one of us, humbled himself and came to earth. He took on human flesh. The Bible says God became man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is an amazing truth. This is not a little deal. This was a big deal that God came to earth. This morning I want us to consider one simple thought. This is a very simple message. Here it is. God uses little things to accomplish great things. He uses little people, little places, and little tasks. God uses little things to accomplish great things. So that's my sentence, my sermon in a sentence. I'm going to say it one more time, and you're going to say it with me. Ready? God uses little things to accomplish great things. Say it now. Ready? God uses little things to accomplish great things. That's all I'm going to say for the next 30 minutes. All right? God uses little people, little places, little tasks to accomplish his will. Now, my sermon last Sunday kind of ties into this. Because I asked the question, what kind of person does God use? Well, God uses little things, little people, little tasks to accomplish great things. I believe most believers want to be used of God. They say, God, use me. I want to live out my purpose of serving you. I want to accomplish something great for you. I want to do great things. But many of us feel underqualified or sometimes disqualified because of the life we've lived, or unworthy, insignificant. We don't feel like we measure up to being used by God. So we give up our dream of being a purposeful, fulfilling Christian, of serving God. Last week, what we discovered is that God can forgive sin. God can move on. That God is not looking for the strongest person or the smartest person or the most talented person or the most qualified, because none of us would be that. Rather, God is looking for those who have a heart of humility, who have surrendered their life to him. The Bible says he chooses the weak things of the world to confound the strong. So he takes us in our weakness and he gives us his strength. He takes us in our simpleness and gives us his wisdom. He takes us with our inabilities and gives us abilities, gifts, spiritual gifts. We looked at all that last week. God equips us. He takes us where we are and moves us forward, and he has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for you. He qualifies us to serve him. Will God use you? Will God use me? Yes, God will use you if you'll humble yourself before him. We learned that last week. Don't look at yourself as such a big shot. Stop being so arrogant. Stop thinking you're so important. Realize that you are nothing in God's sight. Without Christ, you can do nothing. So will God use you if you surrender yourself, if you humble yourself? The answer is yes. God uses little things to accomplish great things. You don't have to be some superstar, super talented. You just have to be a simple, humble, faithful follower of Christ, and he'll use you. What I thought I would do, since that was my theme last week, is I would take this theme and apply it to the Christmas story. So I'm going to have three simple points. Number one is God uses little people. Now, there's a little outline in your bulletin. I'm using the word little a lot, aren't I? It's not an extra sheet. It's right in the main title there. 3 points. God uses little people. Aren't you glad? Because none of us are big shots. None of us are royalty. When God sent his son to earth, he could have been born of a royal family. He could have said, I want my son, when he comes to earth, to be treated like royalty. I want him to be born in a castle or a palace, to a king and a queen. God could have chosen any way to bring his son into the world. And he is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. He deserves that kind of treatment. But what did he do? Who did he choose? He chose little people. God chose a young peasant girl. Everyone agrees that they got married young in those days. She was probably a teenager. Didn't have a lot of wisdom, a lot of smarts, a lot of education. Just a kid, maybe 17, 18 years old. And God used a common carpenter named Joseph. He wasn't so skilled. He was just a carpenter, regular guy, a little guy. But God chose Mary and Joseph to be the earthly parents of Jesus, God's son. Little people to accomplish an uncommon, wonderful miracle. Let me read this again. This is Matthew 1:20. You guys know this. But it's got the names of Mary and Joseph here. Let's just listen one more time. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. We see that so many times. It should take our breath away. She's pregnant. Joseph doesn't understand what's going on. He's ready to divorce her. You remember that. Their betrothal or their engagement had to be ended by a legal divorce. They weren't married and they had not consummated their marriage yet. That's the way they did in those days. They had about a year-long period of time when they were promised. And this is during that time that she's found to be pregnant. And then the angel says to him, but this baby is not from a man, it's from the Holy Spirit. How do you grasp that? And that this child already has a name, his name is Jesus, he's going to save his people from his sins. This is the Messiah coming. Imagine what's going through Joseph's mind. Imagine what's going through Mary's mind. Believe me, I haven't been with anybody, but I'm expecting a baby. Surely they felt unqualified, underqualified to be the birth parents of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah. Surely they felt overwhelmed by this assignment. Yet Mary says, let it be according to your will, Lord. I'm submitted. I'm dedicated. I'm a living sacrifice. I'll do what you want me to do. Your will be done. Let me say it again. God uses little people to accomplish great things. She was a little, insignificant peasant girl. God did a miracle through her life. Now, there's other little people in the Christmas story. How about the shepherds? How did they get included in this story? When God sent angels down to announce the birth of his son, to whom did they go? Did they go to the priests? Say, priests, your Messiah is here. Did the angels go to the scholars and say, look at the books, your Messiah is here? Did they go to King Herod and say, hey, King Herod, there's a new king in town. Jesus is here. To world leaders, who did the angels go to? Shepherds? Outcasts? Shepherds? Smelly people that lived outside with their animals, slept outside, taking care of their sheep at night? They were not exactly high class. They were common, blue-collar kind of workers. They're called lowly shepherds. How about that for a title? Lowly. But you know, they were the first to hear about Jesus. Why God chose these little people, I do not know. He could have chose anyone else to announce the birth. They were the first to come and see Jesus. They were the first visitors to get to see Jesus. And they were the first to share about Jesus and said, let's go down to Jerusalem. Let's tell everybody about the Lord Jesus, the baby Jesus. God uses little people to accomplish great things. But not just little people. Let's move on to our second point. God also uses little places. What city did God choose for the birth of his son? Was it Jerusalem? That's maybe where I would have thought, because Jesus is going to sit on David's throne. Jerusalem is the capital city. It would seem logical that that city should know that the new Messiah is here. The only Messiah is here. Messiah you've been waiting for. Or maybe the place God would have sent his son to is Rome. Because Rome was, they were occupied by Romans and Rome ruled the world. Maybe that's where this baby should have been born, in a big city. Is that where God chose to have this baby born? No, it wasn't even a city. It was a town or village, an insignificant little village called Bethlehem. And that was forecasted in Micah 5:2. But as for you, Bethlehem, you're too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you, one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago. That means he existed before his birth, from the days of eternity. There's a prophecy about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And where was he born? In Bethlehem. God chose to send his son to a quiet little town. A little town, not a big city. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight. Little town, you're honored to have the King of Kings born. Where in Bethlehem was Jesus born? Was he in the Bethlehem Hospital? Bethlehem Birthing Clinic? You know the story. It wasn't even in a clean home. It wasn't even in a clean bed. Jesus was born in a stable. Talk about little places. Insignificant places. A cave. A stall. Around smelly animals. Did they lay baby Jesus in a little bed? In a bassinet? In a crib? No, they laid him in a manger. How much smaller, how much littler, how much more insignificant you get than a feeding trough for baby Jesus. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. Did baby Jesus wear designer clothes fit for a king? No, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths. That's strips of linen. Some say they're the rags that they used to wipe down the animals with. Whatever was available. They didn't plan a birth. They were wrapped tight like we do with blankets with babies. Wrapped them all up to keep them warm and to restrict their movement. I don't see anything extravagant about the birth of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you? Could there anything be more little and humble and ordinary than what we see here? Jesus came to earth in the lowliest way, in the humblest way. You think, well, I'm not good enough for Jesus. Well, were you born in a stall? Your birth, your life has been so much easier than his. Jesus was born in a little place and lived among little people all of his life. You know what his hometown was? You remember what it was? Jesus of Nazareth. Remember when Nathanael said, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So God chose to have Jesus not only born in an obscure place, but live in an obscure place. A town that was ridiculed. Nazareth? All the way until he turned 30, when he left home and began his ministry. So God uses little people to accomplish great things. God uses little places to accomplish great things. And number three, God uses little tasks. Little tasks. What did God ask of Mary and Joseph? Did God say, Mary and Joseph, I want you to start a revolution? Is that what he asked? Mary and Joseph, I want you to overthrow Rome. Is that what he said? I want you to reform religion. Was that their task? What job was Mary and Joseph given? Be good parents. That's it. Mary's task was to give birth to a son and be a good mother. This is an ordinary, everyday task that most women fulfill. Well, it wasn't ordinary in her sense because it was the Son of God that was growing up in her home among her other children later. Joseph's task, be a good father, Joseph. Protect, provide, nurture. This was the ordinary task. Nothing special. Just do that. Same thing most men can accomplish. Here's the point. By doing ordinary tasks for God, we're often accomplishing extraordinary assignments for God. Just by doing what you're supposed to do every day, God can use it somehow. Just by raising this little boy, they were fulfilling God's will. They were doing something of magnificence, importance. Here we go. Ready? God uses little people from little places doing little tasks to accomplish great things for God and His kingdom. That's what this proves. That's what last Sunday proved. God uses humble, weak, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. What task has God given you to do? What assignment has God given you to do? Whatever it is, whether it be big or small, do it all to the glory of God. Amen? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat, that's pretty common, or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Not to your glory, just do it for God's glory. The little tasks that you do, the little things you do and say for God and for His kingdom will have an impact on others if you're walking in His will. You will impact those around you. Jesus said it this way. He said, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, how simple is that task? Would you like a cup of cold water? Truly, I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. God doesn't call everyone to do something big. Sometimes it's little tasks. Little tasks done for Christ and His kingdom become significant tasks. Little tasks, ordinary things that you do every day for God's glory, become a big deal in God's kingdom. He sees that. He will reward it. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just a nobody. Well, that's good, because God chooses nobodies. That's who He wants to use, the weak and foolish of this world. Joseph and Mary were nobodies. They weren't the mayor of the city. They weren't kings and queens. Now, they had royal blood. They were from the line of David. But that didn't mean they were going to become kings. They're just common people. Shepherds were nobodies. God brought them into the story of Christmas, and we get to honor the shepherds. If God used them in significant ways, God will use you if you allow Him to. If you submit your life to Him, if you surrender to Him, if you humble yourself, God will use you. By the way, you may feel like a nobody. In reality, you are a somebody in God's sight. You're somebody noticed and loved by God. He knows everything about you. Every detail of your life. We looked at that a few weeks ago in Psalm 139. He knows when you rise up and when you lie down. He knows every word that comes off your mouth. Every thought that's in your heart. You're somebody that God has noticed. And God has loved. You're somebody that Christ died for. He died for the world. He died for each one of us. You're somebody that Christ purchased with His own blood. You have been bought with a price. You're somebody that God wants in His family. You're somebody to God. You may feel little, and you are little, but God chooses the little. God extends His invitation. Listen to this. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, have you received Christ? To them, He gives the power to become the sons of God. Don't you want to be part of His family? You have to receive Christ. You have to submit your life. You have to ask God to forgive your sins and invite Him into your life, even to those who believe on His name. So the invitation is there. You are somebody in God's sight, somebody that He loves and He died for and wants. Amen? Now, I'm not going to stop right now and pray, but I think you can pray in your own heart and say, Lord Jesus, I don't know that I'm a Christian yet. I ask You to come into my life. I'm nobody, but You can use me and turn me into somebody for You. Amen? Okay, there's the first sermon. You ready for the second sermon? You get two sermons for the price of one. That's the story of the Christmas, but I want to quickly go back to the Old Testament and a few from the New Testament. I want to share seven illustrations driving home this theme. And what was that theme again? God uses little people to accomplish great things. God uses little people. All the way through the Bible, God used little, insignificant nobodies to do something great for God. That just tells me God can use us. because we're nobodies. Let me begin by telling you about Joseph. Remember in Genesis that Joseph? Not marrying Joseph. He was rejected by his brothers. His brothers ganged up on him and sold him off as a slave, sent him off to Egypt, never to see him again, they thought. He's gone, he's forgotten. He spent decades in servitude and in prison. He must have felt, I'm forgotten by all. There's no way I'm going to be rescued here. Yet, and you know the story, God intervened. He interpreted a dream of the Pharaoh, and one day he went from prisoner in a jail to prime minister. How about that? One day, prison to prime minister. Humble yourself and God will exalt you in due time. He was a nobody one day and a somebody the next day. He ran all of Egypt. That's what God can do. He just kept consistently serving in the prison, serving his masters, just doing what he's supposed to do. There's not one sin mentioned about Joseph in the Bible. He lived for God even in a foreign place. He just simply did his tasks, stayed true to God, content to be a nobody, and then God rescued him and made somebody out of him. Isn't that a great story? God uses little people in little places in a prison to do great things. Number two, we surely know the story of Moses, right, from Exodus. He was raised as a prince of Egypt. By the way, that is a great movie, The Prince of Egypt, if you haven't seen it. How many have never seen The Prince of Egypt? How many have seen The Prince of Egypt? Okay, yeah. What a great movie. It's an animated movie, the best Christian movie probably ever, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe we'll do a movie night again. I have that. We know the story of Moses. He was raised as a son of Egypt, but he really was a Hebrew. And at 40 years old, he tried to do a little rescue thing and got in trouble and became a fugitive and was rejected and became a lonely shepherd out in the wilderness. And he thought, I am goner. I'm past my prime. I'm 40 years old. Now I'm out in the wilderness. I'm going to spend the rest of my life out here taking care of sheep. He just kept consistently doing it. God knew where he was. At age 80, after 40 years as a fugitive, 40 years as a servant, a shepherd, God appears to him. And first, God says, I want to send you back. He was hesitant. He says, I'm not qualified. I'm a nobody. I'm insecure. I have a speech impediment. I stutter. Yet God convinced him to go, and God used this little man, this little humbled shepherd, old man that he was, and a simple rod to overthrow the most powerful nation on the planet at the time, Egypt, overthrow Pharaoh. And he continued to lead the nation for another 40 years. So he died at age 120. First 40 years, thinking he was somebody. Second 40 years, knowing he was a nobody out in the wilderness. And then God turned him into somebody that could actually lead. It took him that long. But God took a nobody, and he became a somebody. And how about David, number three? What an amazing story. So Samuel comes to David's house to anoint him. He doesn't know who he is. He says, anoint one of these sons of Jesse. He's going to be the next king. And they anoint all the, I mean, they, God says not to, no to this one, no to this one, no to this one, no to this one, no to this one. Finally, Samuel says, is there another son that I don't know? Oh, you mean the one voted least likely to lead? The one out in the with the sheep? The nobody son, the youngest, the punk kid? They brought him in and said, that's the one. That nobody right there is going to become the next king. Isn't that a beautiful story? He was just overlooked. He was a nobody. God used that little David, probably just a teenager, and his little sling, such a simple little weapon, to kill a giant and to win a great victory and to motivate the people to stand up and fight. He went on to become their king. This little nobody became a king. He became somebody. We say now that the Messiah is going to sit on David's throne because David was the greatest king. God can take you from the sheep pen to the throne room. God can use little people to accomplish his will. How about number four? Do you remember Gideon? We read about him in Judges 6 through 8. He was an insecure farmer, not a warrior. He was not trained as a warrior or a soldier. He was a farmer. He openly admitted, he said, "I'm a nobody. You can't use me." He's the one that was really hesitant to do what God asked him to do. But that's who God wants to call, those who are humble, those who realize that their strength is not their own, it's in him. He says, God says to Gideon, raise up an army. And he did. And you know what God accomplished through this nobody named Gideon? He accomplished building an army of only 300 men. He had a bigger army, but God says, whittle it down. I want a little army. I don't want a big army. I want a little army. He kept whittling it down to only 300 men. He said, here's the weapons. He said, give them a torch, a pitcher, and a trumpet, each one of them. No weapons, no swords, no shields, nope. Just torches, pitchers, and trumpets. And with these simple things, God allowed them to conquer a massive Midianite army consisting of 135,000 soldiers. He said, how'd that happen? You got to read about it. I'm not going to tell you. It's in Judges 6 through 8. Read how God gave 300 men, a little army, victory over 135,000 men. It's a great, great story. This nobody, farmer boy, became somebody overnight. He became a judge of Israel. He became their leader of their nation. Keep doing the little things and be faithful. God will give you something bigger. Number 5 out of 7. We're doing 7 illustrations. Daniel. Don't you love Daniel? He was a Jewish teenager when he was taken captive by Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took and destroyed Jerusalem and took their handful of their people back with him. He's just a teenager, but he's a prisoner of war, a captive. When there, he was chosen to be trained, still as a slave, but being trained, and he stayed true to God in spite of all the temptation around him in this other world. So God gave this nobody, Daniel, supernatural wisdom and knowledge. And he was able, like Joseph, to interpret dreams. And he interpreted a dream of Pharaoh, and he was immediately exalted. Exalted. He became somebody. He became the trusted counselor, number 2, only to the king. God later rescued this nobody from a lion's den. You know that story. Nobody else gets rescued from lion's den, but he was faithful. He trusted God, and he walked out of the lion's den alive. God used this nobody, this teenage POW. He grew up. He became not just an influencer for Nebuchadnezzar, but the kings that followed, for many kings through many years, until he was a very old, old man. God used a little man in an odd, obscure place to serve him. Let's move to the New Testament, the last couple. Let's talk about the disciples for a minute. They were not exactly the cream of the crop. They were fishermen, tax gatherers, common people. None of the disciples were priests or Pharisees or Sadducees or clergy. None of them had that kind of training. These were all simple, common, ordinary people. Nobody's in the sight of the world. Just fishermen walk right by them, don't even notice them. Christ noticed them. And Christ chose them. Follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When you follow Christ, he'll make you into what you're to be. These men were nothing until Christ made them. And through them, he used them to turn the world upside down, to give us the Gospels, to give us the Bible. God used these apostles, these nobodies. These little men became great men for God, because God can do that. He can equip you. No matter what you come from, how weak you might be, how dense you might be, God gives you wisdom and strength and power to serve him. He'll equip you. God specializes and uses the little things and the little people. Finally, let's consider one more example, and that's Paul. You know what Paul's name literally means? Small. Paul, small. Paul, little. He means the little guy. Now, he may have been small in stature. We don't know. We're not ever told how tall he was. But he was a giant in faith, wasn't he? A giant in the spirit. Giant listening to God. Giant as a missionary. He may have seemed like a little insignificant guy. This little Jewish man went out into the world on 3 missionary journeys and established churches all over the Roman world. And he began writing them letters that became part of our Bible. God used this little man to become a great man, one of the most admired men in the Bible. The book of Romans is written by Paul. We've got so many of his books and his letters. God used a nobody in the world sight to be somebody. So here's the biblical principle. Here's the bottom line. You like the bottom line? I've already said it many times. God uses little people in little places doing little tasks to accomplish great things for his kingdom. Did we get that message? Are we applying that message to ourselves? If God used a peasant girl like Mary, if God used a common carpenter like Joseph, if God used a foreign slave like Joseph, a stutterer like Moses, a shepherd boy like David, a reluctant farmer like Gideon, a prisoner of war like Daniel, a fisherman like Peter, a tax gatherer like Matthew, a little man like Paul. If God used those kind of little people, he can use us. He can use me. He can use you. Say, God can use me. Do you believe it? God can use me. He chooses the least of these to confound the wise. But you say, I'm a nobody living in a little town. Boy, do I know about that. We live in Twin Peaks. Does it get any littler than this? You know, all of us live in little towns up here. You say, well, I've got no special skills, no special abilities. I'm not cut out to be a missionary or a pastor. I guess I don't really have anywhere to serve. All I can do is, like, raise my kids. That's all God asked Mary to do, and Joseph to do, raise your kids. All I can do is work to support my family. That's all God asked Joseph to do, work and support your family. You may say, well, all I can do is, you know, like help coach my kids' soccer team or help sometimes in Sunday school or VBS or nursery. Maybe I can help drive for events like school events or youth events, or maybe I can occasionally help a neighbor. I can cook and clean sometimes as needed. I can give my tithe consistently. I can pray a little. I can sing a little. But I really can't do much in active ministry. All that is active ministry. All that is active ministry. If that's what God's called you to do, do it well. Do it with all your heart. Don't underestimate the power of God to use you in your little tasks, in the ordinary things you do, where you are. Stay true to the task God has given you, even the small ones. Stay true to those. And stay open to new tasks God may give you. Because when you're faithful to something little, God may give you something bigger. The tasks now may seem small, simple, insignificant, but God can use you where you're at, in that carpool, in that workplace, in that school. God can use you where you're at now, in that little place, to accomplish his will and make a difference. As we're faithful in the small tasks, God may give us bigger tasks. Greater responsibilities. Jesus says he who is faithful in a little thing is faithful in much. He notices if you're faithful in the little tasks before he gives you bigger tasks. Be faithful. Be available. God will use you. Stay humble. Amen? Bulletin cover is my last line. God uses ordinary people to be a part of extraordinary plans. Ordinary people. That's a comfort to me. I don't have to be some clergy. I don't have to be some president. I don't have to be some big wig. I can be a little person in a little place, and I can accomplish great things for God. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you'd use us. Like we said a few weeks ago, we are living sacrifices on the altar. Use my hands. Use my voice. Use my body. Use me in every little way you can. I submit to you. I dedicate my life to you. I humble myself before you and say, use me. I want to be used by you, Lord. Help me to see you in my ordinary life. Help us to see the extraordinary things you're doing through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together for a closing song.